Yes, indeed. Let's go hour number two on a Tuesday. Not just any Tuesday. Texas OU Tuesday. Longhorns and Sooners going to get it on for the 118th time. Last hour, we talked to a guy who suited up for Texas and knows what it's like to win and lose that game. This hour is going to start with another guy who knows what it's like to suit up for Texas in that game. And we talk to him every Tuesday. Let's jump right in on the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina hotline. We always give Vaqueros their love, even though he's sitting right across from me here in the studio. It is Jeff Ward. Check out JeffWardShow.com. Posted each weekday for you at Jeff Ward Show on Twitter. How are you?
Hey there.
All right, so...
You want State Fair recommendations, don't you?
Well, specifically this year, what we're looking for is help for our man Isaiah. Isaiah and his wife are going to the game for their very first time.
All right.
He's never been to the game live.
Yeah.
Can you help him out?
Absolutely. First thing, the first person that you run into that's waving park here, just throw your keys to him and just pull over. Number two... There's a guy named Ziggy who runs the Tilt-A-Whirl. He has no teeth because he's doing crystal meth, and he will let you ride for about an hour and a half straight. No bar.
Wow.
There's no protective bar. Okay. There are two items right there.
All right.
Noted.
There
got
you
it?
Go. Did you get that all written
down?
Yeah, I got
them written down.
Oh, by the way, they only take cash when you're parking. Just throw them another 25 and you're good.
They don't do, no credit cards on parking.
Not that I remember. They don't swipe anything.
They don't have the little square.
You're not going to have any tires, but you're going to be close to the stadium. That's my advice.
Yeah, multiple people have suggested that Zay maybe look into the DART method, transit method of getting there.
Which has improved through the years. It has. There was one year, I can't remember when it got stuck. Oof. But it's improved through the years, so.
Yeah, I had a friend meet me there a few years ago and did the DART method, and they loved it.
I don't know. I like the whole thing about the Cotton Bowl is that it's just kind of this grungy, pleasurable experience. So it smells, it's awful, everything about it, but it's kind of what makes it fun. So I love the mystery of just letting some dude with a flag park your car.
I have parked in somebody's yard for this game. I've done it.
Who hasn't?
Yeah. Was there four or six people in our car?
I've parked and stayed and started drinking with them.
Now, it wasn't my car, to be
fair. Oh, that's nice of you.
I got to walk away, crossing my fingers for my buddy.
Yeah, I bet.
It wasn't my car.
Yeah.
But he was there when we got back.
Shockingly.
We were ready to roll.
Yeah.
Yeah, they watched intently.
Yeah. Hey, somebody on the Specs text line said, there's a Leroy there. I know there's some random guy named Leroy that I can throw the keys to or scout some tickets or coupons for that'll have a little deal.
Okay. Just the
I'll look for Leroy.
The first cardboard box that says park here, just pull over, man.
Just go.
just pull over.
Get it. There it is. All right, so as we get ready for this one, we were just talking about what Oklahoma has been giving up going into this game.
They need to panic.
The chunks
they need to panic.
Of rushing yards,
they need
Jeff,
to panic.
Going in.
They need to panic. It's what Kansas State did to them. Well, first of all, their losses, they're not fluky. It hasn't been bad luck.
No.
They're not any good.
They're getting fundamentally destroyed.
Yeah, Kansas State, it looked like Bill Snyder football of 1975.
I haven't smiled that much in a long time watching that game. That
I
was so much fun.
I watched every snap, and it was, you know, they ran three plays.
Yeah.
And that's it. They ran three plays, and we're untouched. They're bad. And that team, once they get a third loss this weekend, three in a row, I'm not sure they don't have five losses in them.
Wow. So you're you're definitely chalking this one up to Texas wins the game.
You can't beat that team. I don't care what name is next to that football team, whatever color they are. They're not any good.
Yeah.
What Kansas State did to them is – if Bijan Robinson doesn't touch it 20 times, that's absurd.
Oh, I totally agree.
Okay, that's absurd.
I'd kick the number up higher, too.
Yeah, no, I know. I'm saying, but that minimum has got to be 20. He touches it 25, you win by double digits.
You realize it was 41-17 TCU at the half?
With 300 yards.
I mean, they were...
With 300 yards.
They were trashing him before Gabriel got hurt.
No, and that hit was assault. Now, that is...
That was dirty.
That is one of the... That is full-on assault. That hit was as cheap and as sorry as anything you could get. And I tell you what's really what would disturb me. I'm saying Oklahoma needs to panic. Brent Venables, you need to panic about Brent Venables. But one thing that really bothered me about Oklahoma was that is such a cheap, dirty site, a hit. That's when you throw down. That should energize a team. And
right,
they got worse after their guy got
and nobody really reacted.
They didn't react.
Yeah. They didn't.
I was shocked. I said, that's when you go. You got to go right then. You cannot let somebody get away with that stuff. The league shouldn't let them get away with it. The team shouldn't let them get away with it. And they just folded even worse.
Yeah, it turned into like mild preseason NBA pushing. That was about all that happened.
That is a bad team.
It is.
It's not a fluke. And what, first of all, I assume they should panic by now. If you're not panicking by now, just wait till, assuming Texas is smart enough to run off tackle 40 times,
yeah,
you're really going to panic when they chew you up just like TCU did. And what I think works against Brent Venables, no, I don't think he gets fired this year, even though I think that team has at least two more losses in them. They might lose on TV to Kansas in a couple weeks.
Oof.
I'm not kidding.
No, I know you're not.
I'm not kidding.
Kansas has game day this week. Everybody realize that?
They might lose to Kansas in a couple of weeks. And if you made me bet right now, I don't know where's the game.
I'd have to look it up to see where Oklahoma plays Kansas.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll look it up.
Okay. Well, if you said they were playing this Saturday, I can't believe it. I'd take Kansas. But here's why I think that the anxiety should be ramped up for Oklahoma and for Brent Venables. And that is
they play home after Texas. It's the very next game.
So, wait. In Lawrence?
Yeah, Oklahoma hosts Kansas right after they play Texas. So next Saturday.
Imagine getting rolled by Texas for your third loss in a row, okay? And then you turn around, you're not feeling too good about life. Things are a mess. It's a dumpster fire. And then you imagine the conversation we're having. They lose at home for loss number four in a row to Kansas.
By the way, they've already said.
And by the way, it's not outrageous to say it happens, correct?
It's not outrageous. And they have already set that as an 11 a.m.
It's 11 o'clock kick, yeah.
In the morning in Norman.
That'd be four losses in a row at home to Kansas State. And you've lost. You're 0-2 against the state of Kansas.
At home. In Norman.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
So they only got five games under their belt, but you're basically saying Brent Venables is in the hot seat already.
No. He's more than the hot seat, and here's why I think this, and for good reason. I think this is true of anybody right now, and I don't know for a fact that the firings are happening so fast, but one of the reasons is it's the Urban Meyer sweepstakes. It is getting every AD and executive to fast-track.
Even though this fool's still kicking kickers and doing all that crazy stuff that he did in Jacksonville?
They don't care. They don't care.
In college, they don't care.
Check that morality at the door, man. And I wouldn't be shocked if John Gruden doesn't coach again. Everybody is so desperate right now. But Oklahoma, the thing that I think should make life worse for Brent Venables once he loses at home now to go 0-2 against the state of Kansas, which is pretty impossible to do. Population of what, 85,000 or something?
There's like 56 people in the state,
okay.
I think. Yeah.
Yeah. So you've got Matt Rhule is going to get fired. Matt Rhule is a really good coach.
At the college level, I think he is.
Just because you're not a great pro coach doesn't. Last time we checked, that guy at Alabama that flamed out in Miami. So coaching in pro football is different.
Yeah, Rhule in
Matt
back
Rhule
there, you're right.
Has absolutely proven himself. If you don't get Urban Meyer and all of his issues, and they don't care about issues in college, they just want to win, then the next guy up is going to be Matt Rhule. Because he's going to get whacked before long. He's done before long.
Yeah.
And that's going to be an excellent coach. So you've already got jobs at Georgia Tech. Urban Meyer's not going to go to Nebraska. He's not going to go to Wisconsin. He doesn't want any part of that. The attractive places are, it would be Georgia Tech should be good. Arizona State is just waiting one day to be really good.
Yeah.
So you have these attractive jobs that open up, and you're on an Urban Meyer, Matt Rhule, dare I say, John Gruden sweepstakes. And if you're Brent Venables and you're 0-2 against Kansas and have lost five or six games in year one and you're about to go to the SEC to get your butt handed to you every week, you better panic. There.
Man, I would love to hear the conversations Oklahoma people are having. If they're having them.
They're going to have one on Saturday afternoon. And then the next one is going to be really disturbing. That is, we just got rolled by Kansas at home.
Do you think they would even...
Like, Texas.
Do you think they would even blink at the Urban Meyer discussion, or would they go right to it? Would they have any reservations?
No.
Big brand name, historic program like that.
Oh,
that's a damn shame.
All the stability that they've had with Stoops.
Let's stop acting as if the college industry is Mother Teresa here.
No, I understand that. But we're talking about
they're going to be desperate and they're going to be really panicked because just as if look, I don't think that Texas has improved over a year ago. I don't think they're quite as good as people think. I don't think they're quite as bad as people think. So they're probably going to have a loss in them this year, maybe two. It's not that outrageous, but at least it's trending upward. All of a sudden, Oklahoma looks up and says, we hired an assistant coach, and it's a dumpster fire, and we're about to go into a league that's going to kick our face in every week. And, oh, by the way, you've got the devil out there that can turn your program around in a heartbeat.
Yeah. Mm.
Right?
Oh, that's true.
Don't tell me that's not looming over every hot seat out there.
Here's a little bit of irony. When they played Nebraska, the crowd chanted, "We want Urban." The Nebraska crowd did.
Yeah.
But now, what if it is the other side? And by the way, have you heard Fox has tried to stop the chanting? They've tried to stop local crowds from chanting at Urban Meyer.
Look, I'm not saying if I went to any of these schools, I'd be embarrassed to make that move. But I think that that's what I'm saying, is I think they are, if they're not panicking yet, they're going to start to panic because I think they're going to look up and think, all right, so you had a 5-win season, maybe, and then there goes Urban Meyer to, I don't know, Georgia Tech, goes to Arizona State, I don't know, somewhere.
Now, those kind of places would probably take him in 2 seconds.
Take him in 2 seconds. And Oklahoma take him in 1.5.
Yeah, and let's be honest about what.
By the way, I'm not quite sure that John Gruden is completely out of a picture. He's on some... I'm going to fall on the sword. He's pretending to be Mother Teresa now.
Now, that one's a little different because you have something so specific with Gruden that people would have a problem with. Urban's is interesting. Urban's like rap sheet. Like, what is it really? Could you describe it to someone in an elevator conversation and say, here's why you don't want Urban Meyer?
Well, yeah. Other than notice how every time he leaves, the place seems to be kind of a mess kind of deal.
There's that. Yeah, there's a little bit of that.
And...
Now, they'll take that,
though. A little crooked stuff going on Ohio State.
They'll take a little mess.
I think they'll take a lot of mess. Yeah. I don't think there's anything
but
about...
like normal college football crooked. Nothing crazy crooked, is it, with Urban? I'm just trying to play...
I'm playing the devil's advocate for the person that might want him. Fair enough. I'm not going to say that he advocated Aaron Hernandez kill a few people, okay? if that's what you want me to say.
He gave Aaron Hernandez the pistol.
He didn't drive him to the carjacking.
He did not.
Okay?
The number of arrests is alarming from Gainesville.
Yeah.
That's true. I'll give you that.
If we were to sit down and you're full on panic mode and you're Oklahoma or you're Georgia Tech or Arizona State, these big places that have the money that are saying, I want to be good. And in Oklahoma's case, you're thinking, this thing could get away from us in a hurry if we don't make the right move. So they're panicked, right? So when you have the conversation about Urban Meyer, it's somebody at the table will say, you know, there's issues. And they're going to probably respond like you did. Yeah, but did he drive Aaron Hernandez to the murder? He didn't.
Right.
You know, did he make that guy do that assault? No, he didn't. And so you'd say there's issues, but you're willing to tolerate the issues to get 3 to 5 years out of him to make your program good, loaded up with NFL talent, and then the whole thing's going to fall apart in year 5. That's what you get.
Yeah.
And you know it.
It's a wild discussion because some of those schools...
I think Matt Rhule is a much safer hire all the way around. I mean, I think Matt Rhule, he turned Baylor into a solid football team. That wasn't junk science. That wasn't Mike Leach stuff. That was solid football.
Could Oklahoma be... There's all this talk about where it like has.
I don't know how many more Sundays Matt Rhule is employed.
Yeah, that's fair too.
Because that thing is that's a tough business. That is not college is not that hard.
What about the
NFL is?
What about the Campbell at Iowa State thing? Is that gone too far? Does he have to stay there now, or does he still have another?
How do you think his family feels? He turned down $7 million. I know it's Detroit, but
does he still have another step to make though? Would Oklahoma look at a guy like that?
No, I think.
Or is it too late?
No, I think. It depends on how panicked they are. I don't think Brent Venables gets fired this year, but you can't help but watch that team and go, we suck.
Yeah,
on both sides of the ball. They suck.
Well, and I've said it for years.
They're undisciplined. It's just wrong. It's not a good look.
I think because Bob Stoops backed them up so hard he gets a solid chance. He might get a year or two just because he's Bob Stoops' guy.
Bob? Come on, man.
Yeah.
I've yet to figure that deal out. Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, I think that was Bob said it, so we'll do it. But I think the next time around, like I don't know that they're going to pull the plug anytime soon. I'm just thinking it feels to me like all the pressure's ramped up just because of he's looming out there. You hire Urban Meyer, you're going to get the stuff. He's a jackass and all that that goes with it.
Yep.
But you also know you're going to end up with a bunch of NFL players in a few years.
Yeah, you're going to have football players.
I mean, you're going to have players.
There's no doubt.
And they're going to hate him, and you're going to hate him, but you're going to have players. And I mean, I wouldn't want it. If Matt Rhule gets fired the next time Baker Mayfield throws an interception, I'd be on the phone with his agent in a heartbeat.
Yeah, and he'll want to come back to college, you would assume.
Yeah, I mean, life's a lot easier than where he was. I mean, what he did at Baylor, and what he did at, what was it, was it Temple?
Temple, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
Right.
Come on.
If it's not somewhere like Oklahoma, Matt Rhule at Arizona State would be an interesting move.
If I look at someone like I've yet to figure out why Arizona State cannot get it right.
Yeah.
It's everything. It is a giant, good-looking campus with
big old
a lot
state
of attractive people.
And, oh, yeah.
And it's around all the recruits. It's not in the middle of recruits, but it's close enough.
Right there, Phoenix.
Yeah. I mean, I don't get that. They haven't been able to get that one right yet.
Yeah.
So there's the kind of spot if you're someone like Matt Rhule says, you know what? I can go there for 10, 12 years. Cool. They'll pay you. Bar's low. I don't know what the hell Herm Edwards did. That was
cheat.
A mess. Yeah, oof, I guess so.
Illegal recruiting during COVID.
So I'm just saying, the conversation in Oklahoma is going to be really awkward Saturday evening, I think, but it's going to get awful by 2 p.m. the next Saturday.
All right, so just
I love it.
Devil's advocate on the way out, and because it's you, what if Texas loses? Then what? Then blank. Fill it in.
Yeah, fill it in. I don't think Steve Sarkisian faces – it depends on how they lose, to be honest with you.
Okay.
If they were a dumpster fire, like what Oklahoma's look like, then I think the heat starts up again on him. I don't think by any stretch he's completely safe. I don't, and I don't know that he should be. But the body of work over the past few weeks looks far different than the body of work of Oklahoma. They lose in a fairly well-played game against Alabama. They lose in a well-played game against a pretty good Texas Tech team. Those are not embarrassing losses. So, yeah.
Depending on how it looks, right?
The projection for Texas feels and looks, the eyeball test, looks better. Those Oklahoma losses are freakishly similar and freakishly bad. It's just they're not doing anything right. Texas is mostly doing stuff right.
Do you think the fact
and I,
that
I wouldn't screw around the quarterback position, by the way, if you're going to ask about that one too?
Yeah.
Just stick with Card and go?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Do you think the fact that Oklahoma was dealing with a dual threat quarterback and Adrian Martinez and Duggan, that's what played to the success of TCU and Kansas State, and maybe the Horns don't necessarily have that except just Bijan Robinson?
That's enough. Did you see Oklahoma try to play defense? Are you kidding me? I don't care if you point and say he's running right there. Kansas State did it. It was quarterback off tackle.
I'd run multiple running back sets a lot in this game. A lot. I might run wishbone stuff with all three of them just to be nostalgic.
That would be kind
of little
cool.
West Point,
right?
Armless.
Let's throw three of them back there. Let's go.
Well, who's going to be the fool that has to be that fullback 2 yards back? Get a neck roll on?
That's Rojo, baby.
Let Rojo and Keelan switch out on that one.
You keep giving it to him until he stops at any length of time. You just keep handing it off, and you leave there with a double-digit win. I mean, there's no – the body of work for Oklahoma is shockingly bad.
Last time this was an unranked matchup, it was Ricky in 98. He had 31 carries. Would you go right to there with Bijan? Would you go that high?
It's quite a leap, man. It's going from what 16 or so to 31.
Right.
I don't know if I'd go that far. I think they have to go that far. That's how bad that OU defense really is.
I'd go that far on touches.
Yeah, probably.
Can you get him that many touches? Can you play 30 touches, 25 runs, and 5 receptions?
What is the average per carry over under right now? 6. There's a bet for you.
There you go. 5.5 over under.
I mean, I don't know if somehow Oklahoma found themselves, I don't know how between now and then, but if they found themselves and blew Texas out, I think the heat starts up there again because of the same issues hanging around out there.
Right. You don't want this team to blow you out.
I just think whoever, if you're a power and you're limping around right now, and you're a coach of a powerhouse that's limping around right now, I think everything is turned up because of guys like Urban Meyer, Matt Rhule, and even, I think, to a degree, John Gruden. John Gruden was in somewhere, and I thought the guy all but had confessional there. He was whining so much about how I'm a great guy. I want to coach again. You call Indeed or you go on Indeed right now and he's there. That dude is not, he's making it very clear. You know, they say when you're looking for a job, always tell people you're looking for a job.
Right.
He's just telling everybody he's looking for a job.
There's no doubt. Yeah, he definitely is.
So, I mean, there's a lot you'd have to swallow if you hire John Gruden, but he's out there. That's what I'm saying is those names are hanging out there and big money jock sniffers like big names.
And I would assume John
Brent Venables is not it.
I would assume John Gruden could calm a family and a recruit down pretty fast on, hey, are you a racist? I'm assuming he could calm that down pretty fast. I'm assuming. That's going to be step one, right?
Here's the problem with hiring John Gruden, though. If I'm recruiting against him, I'm going to talk about the emails.
Of course. Yeah, that's the thing.
Okay.
Because in the other living rooms, that's all they're going to say.
Absolutely. I'm not letting that one go.
I'd have copies of them.
My school and I was worried about where my football program was going, do I think I could turn it over to John Gruden? I do not. I think there's more. That's just too big of a mountain to overcome. I think Urban Meyer and Matt Rhule is a much easier sell. I'm just saying that I think that John Gruden is such a big name that it's going to turn up the heat, and there's so many jobs that are opening up so quickly now. And I think part of the reason why these guys are getting whacked so fast is because they feel compelled to go chase one of these big names.
That is Jeff Ward. Check out jeffwardshow.com. Posted each weekday for you if you're on Twitter at Jeff Ward Show. Always good to see you.
All right.
We'll see what happens with the Longhorns and the Sooners this week.
Parking advice, tilt-a-whirl. And the thing is, he has crack, too. I mean, he'd be nice enough to the guy at the tilt-a-whirl. Yeah,
what
he's got crack.
About? The tilt-a-whirl guy's
crack,
got crack?
Absolutely.
Versatile. All right.
That's it. That's a whole nother experience.
There are no safety precautions on that ride.
No, there
None.
Are not.
Zero.
Not at all. Coming up, it's our flex segment. We'll talk about Mason Cochran out there in Round Rock. His team's got two big games coming up, and my man has all the rushing yards you need. This is The Horn. Song made my face even uglier than it already is. Come on now. Alright. It's got a nice old feel to it. God, the last time I heard something like this that you played, I guess Nazareth on the last one that sounded like this.
Nah, not quite Nazareth.
Nah, that's not. I don't know. Who is it?
The Guess Who.
Oh, the Guess Who. Okay.
Hang on to your life.
Very nice. It's a good sound. The Guess Who. I think they're a Canadian band. I may be wrong on that. I've been wrong about music a lot lately. I screwed up the Eurythmics thing. I've been messing up everything. Okay, we've had weird moments today. I still could have sworn Michael Griffin said that Jameis Winston was playing for Texas. It was just really weird. He may have meant Jameson, and maybe I heard it wrong. But yeah, anyway. There's a lot of stuff going on today. It's Tuesday. It's Texas OU. There's a lot of stuff out there. And how about this text coming in on the Specs text line, 337-3776. I did have this thought as we were in the middle of the conversation with Jeff Ward. Says, I sure hope the Texas football team isn't as overconfident as this radio station has been all week. I'm a Texas fan, but what gives us the right to go into this game so cocky? This game can turn a season around for OU. It's true. That is true. That is fair. It's a tough, and also football math is always tough to play any week, but it is tough to say, okay, just because this has happened, this will happen in this game. I think it's just the fundamental part of OU giving up so much on the ground. Such a basic part of football. I always say the worst thing to me about being a football fan is when your team gets run on. I don't think there's anything worse than being a fan and watching it and having to eat that. Having to eat just chunk after chunk of running yards against you. Oklahoma's given up a ton of it. Texas has a really good running back and a really good running back room. Even if they don't have an elite offensive line, you feel like that is a big advantage for Texas. So I think that's why Texas fans feel some confidence in the game.
Yeah, and let's just keep it 100. Dylan Gabriel, the quarterback for Oklahoma, if he plays in this game, there's a serious issue that needs to be addressed with the neurologist at Oklahoma. Because with what Tua had to deal with and how they fired that neurologist in Miami because he didn't go over the procedure to make sure Tua was okay to put him back in the game after the head injury, ain't no way Dylan Gabriel should be back on that field. And you would think that with the Tua situation happening, everybody's going to be a little bit more cautious than norm, which you should be as cautious as possible. You're dealing with CTE and head trauma. Like, this is a serious thing. But Dylan Gabriel, if he takes the field on Saturday, then, hey, that's a serious issue for me. I mean, yeah, we're talking about the rivalry. Yes, I want to beat the hell out of the Sooners, but at the end of the day, I want Dylan Gabriel to be all right, and I don't think he should be playing in this ball game. So that's why, as a Texas fan, and a lot of people on these airwaves are so excited and confident, because Beville coming in, the Pittsburgh transfer who was third string to Kenny Pickett, him coming in and being the starting quarterback, gotta like your chances, because he ain't mobile like Dylan Gabriel. And Dylan Gabriel, the lefty, you know, he gave them a little bit of a chance, even though they've been getting drove with him. Now they got Beville taking the snaps. I like my chances.
Or do you go with the booty? Do you give him the booty?
Yo, throw his ass in there.
General booty. That would be your other option.
I'll take that too.
I'm not seeing any updates, Zay, from the last couple days. Yesterday, Jeff Lebby, the OC, didn't have any updates on Dylan Gabriel, and we haven't seen anything come down yet in terms of Venables today updating Dylan Gabriel. So we may want to.
Yeah, and he's going to go Steve Sarkisian. He ain't going to let nobody know how Dylan Gabriel really is. But again, being realistic with everything that's happened in the last week or so with Tua and his situation and that brutal hit that Dylan Gabriel took, like Jeff just said, that was assault. Like, that was assault. So if this guy's out here getting assaulted in his head, I just can't see him being at the Cotton Bowl at 11 a.m. It wouldn't make any sense.
Yeah.
I don't care how competitive you are, you know?
Yeah. And again, TCU was whipping them at the moment he got that hit. He was airmailing a lot of passes. He had not been really accurate. So that's something to, I think, consider as well.
But Dylan Gabriel does provide what Texas struggles with on defense, and that's being a mobile quarterback. We see Frank Harris, UTSA. We see Bryce Young.
That's true.
We seen Donovan Smith. All three of those guys were mobile, and Texas struggled with them to a certain extent. JT Daniels wasn't as mobile. Texas looked really good. Dylan Gabriel, mobile. You might not have to see him. Beville, he's not mobile. So, yeah. And the whole offense is revolved around Dylan Gabriel. Like, they brought his offensive coordinator from Central Florida. That's where he came from?
Correct.
Yeah, they brought him over from Central Florida so he could be comfortable with him. Now, what do you do? So, yeah, I'm confident too, but I get the history can make you a little bit nervous.
And again, as Zay and his wife are going to see in person, and as all of you know that have been to the game, it's different.
It's different.
It's really, really, different when you get to Texas and OU. So we'll talk more about that, obviously, as the week goes on. Let's get you a quick flex segment here. I want to tell you about one of the big quarterbacks in the area, and we'll talk under the lights.
Flex ATX for the best high school sports coverage. Listen to the horn and go to FLXATX.com. Flex 30 is brought to you by Brain Vault. Brain Vault is a revolutionary and patented mouth guard that has been proven to help reduce the risk of concussion. Visit BrainVault.com and join the movement.
FLXATX.com for all your high school football stuff as we roll through football season. You got other sports covered there as well. The All-Flex watch list in football and volleyball if you want to check them out. Remember, under the lights tonight, Rick and the crew out and about. They're out at Bush's, the Whitestone location is where they're going tonight for the get on out to Whitestone Boulevard. Check out Bush's Chicken if you have not. Coach Josh Mann from Rouse is going to be a guest. Coach Sam Robinson from Cedar Ridge. And the Bush's Chicken player spotlight guest, I have not heard of this first name. This is fantastic. Make sure I get this right. Ananias Vance, A-N-A-N-I-A-S, Ananias Vance, running back from Westwood. That's what I'm going to go with there. So catch Under the Lights tonight. Another player I wanted to mention today, we were looking through some stats from last week, and I keep being more and more impressed, Zay, about Mason Cochran and Round Rock. You hear about the team. I've been hearing about Round Rock and everything, but then you start to look at what's making them roll. Mason Cochran is running dudes over. I saw one account of last week's game that had 191 yards for him. Somebody else gave him 200 yards rushing. Five rushing touchdowns. He had a 44-yard touchdown. He had a 37-yard touchdown in the game. The team ran for 347 last week.
Yeah, and they're the team that beat in that district.
You know,
Round Rock being the defending district champs, you know, and it's because they got guys like Mason, and he's been really, really making his foot on a lot of the gas pedal that the Round Rock Dragons push out there every Friday night and Thursday night. And yeah, you got to give it to him. Five touchdowns, that you got to be a tough son of a gun to have five rushing touchdowns as a QB. So kudos to Mason.
No doubt. So I was talking to getting some info from my man Zach Lucero from the Flex Crew.
What up, Zach?
Who knows a lot about these guys and kind of their stories. He followed, so Cochran followed a guy named Seth Ford at Round Rock. And Zach's telling me that's kind of the start of this dual threat running based quarterback mindset. Seth ended up at West Texas A&M. I was seeing today there aren't really like offers for Mason Cochran. I didn't see that he had a lot of offers out there, and I'm just wondering how this might translate to the next level. Certainly a run, he runs more than he does anything else, but he's like a 59% passer. I watched a little video on him today, Zay. Not a bad throwing motion. He's hitting some nice intermediate routes. I'm just wondering, if a team takes a look at a kid like this, tough as nails, 6'2", like 200, 205, just running guys over in the run game, if you could see him throw the ball, and if he's willing to show you the route tree, so to speak, I don't know. I wonder. I'll be interested to follow this guy over the next year to see what offers might show up for him and what level team is looking at him.
Yeah, absolutely. I know everybody has D1 aspirations and everybody wants to go Big 12, SEC, or some type of Power 5 school, but that's, you know, there's only a certain amount of scholarships and a certain amount of jerseys for each roster. It's okay to go the junior college route, maybe go to Blinn or Navarro or even one of those smaller four-year schools that's D2 or, you know, FCS, like Sam Houston, something like that. We see that guys, you know, like a Carson Wentz or my man who got hurt from, I'm losing track of his name, for the 49ers, Trey Lance. Both of those guys went to a lower,
that's true,
you know, smaller schools, and they were top elite first round picks and, you know, got good chances in the National Football League. So it's not about where you go, it's how you finish. And if you have a mindset of working hard and, you know, just having the right habits, then you could be successful wherever you go. So yeah, Mason, keep on grinding and them offers will come. They'll come.
Yeah, and that's what this Flex thing is all about for us. We want to let you know about these kids. We want to get their stories out there. And then ultimately we hope that, you know, some schools will be interested too. We like to kind of follow it throughout the process. So Mason Cochran, if you're up there in Round Rock Country, in Dragon Country, you got any extra info for us, let us hear about it. I'm at C. Hastings 1049. Also, send your videos, send your info to the Flex guys at FLXATX on your social media. They've got right there at FlexATX.com. They have a contact little, you know, tag for you. You can click there, send them videos, send them stats, updated stuff. You can do all of that. And if you're interested in Round Rock, how about these next two games? They play Manor this week at home. So you got Quentin Joyner on one side and you got Mason Cochran on the other. Then next week, they're going to Vandergrift. Now, that's a game, I'll admit, I've kind of had circled on my calendar for a while. I think I might get out to Vandergrift for that one. So that's Mason Cochran on the road at the Vandergrift defense, taking on Wimberly and that crew. That could be fun.
Yeah, say it every day on these airwaves. The talent in this area is absolutely unbelievable. If you have a chance to get out and see any of these teams, get out and see them because they're all worth the watch. They might be playing on Saturdays. Hell, they might be playing on Sunday someday. So
absolutely,
get out, see these guys because it's definitely worth it.
And hey, tomorrow in the Flex segment, I'm going to tell you about one of the big-time players in the area whose mama reached out to me on Twitter. Wanted to thank us for talking about her boy. That's coming up tomorrow at 1:30. Up next, where are we at in society? Isaiah's going to let you know. Oh, maybe the rumors are true about the goat and Mrs. Goat. We'll get into it on the horn.
It's a busy week when OU sucks this much. Wednesday.
Haunted house.
Look out! Look out! Oh, okay. We're not playing around, are we? Wow. You went and found you one, didn't you, Zay? Uh-huh. My guess is going to be Slayer.
No.
All right, who we got?
Sepultura.
Ooh, all right. I was in the neighborhood. Sepultura. South American.
Yeah, Brazilian.
Death metal.
Yeah.
I've seen Sepultura live. It's a show.
Oh, yeah?
It's quite a show. Let me see if I get this right. I may have actually seen Sepultura a couple times, but I believe I saw Sepultura, and then it was Danzig and Ozzy, I think. On the same bill for Halloween. It all fit.
That makes sense.
Really well. Yeah, Sepultura gets after it, man. Gets after it, the Brazilian metal. All right, Sepultura joins the Guess Who, Ricky Lee Jones, and Roxette. You're just not getting that combo anywhere else. You are not. Well done, Zay. Well done. Chad and Zay with you on a Tuesday, getting ready for Texas OU, Chapter 118. Somebody... kind of like one of our previous texters, getting a little nervous about all this positive talk on the Longhorn side, saying all bets are off. It's Texas OU. I think there's some Longhorn fans by the end of the week that may end up, you know, trying to back off. This happens a lot. If you've ever been around this, now look, if it's like a top five matchup, then you just scream and yell at each other all week. But if there's a clear better team by your eyes, if the eyeball test says, okay, this team's better, and this team is not, especially when this team has given up all those rushing yards like Oklahoma is, and the quarterback is hurt. Somebody texted us earlier, is there any way Gabriel can play with the Tua stuff going on right now? Most people would say no, but it all depends on, you know, I guess, how the neurologists are going to react. And by the way, before you make your jokes, yes, Texas fans, there are neurologists in Oklahoma. So how dare you? How dare you? All right? How dare you? Now. Did they all take their final exam to become a neurologist at Kentucky Fried Chicken? Yes, they did. Yes, they did. All right, it wasn't even that. It was like a truck on the side of the road, and they painted neurologist on the side and misspelled it. But either way, they do have those in Oklahoma. They're just trying to figure out this week what's going on with Dylan Gabriel. So we're definitely talking lots of Texas OU. We'll get back into that coming up at 2. Get some more of Zay's thoughts on his first trip to this game. What does he need to know? He's trying to get some help from you guys on tickets and parking and everything and what to expect from the fair and the game.
Somebody hit me up on one of the social media platforms and just sent me their number and said, hey, hit me up. That's what I'm talking about.
There you go. Going to get some good inside info, Zay.
That's what I'm talking about.
Speaking of inside info, let's go where we at in society because Zay's got some gossip, I think.
Where are we at in society today?
Oh, goodness.
Yeah. It looks like Tom Brady and Giselle might be donezo.
Oh, Zay.
Yeah, Tom Brady. I think he promised Giselle and the fam last year, baby, I'm going to retire for good.
This is it.
I'm the GOAT. Have the most Super Bowl rings ever. I'm going to ride off into the sunset. We're going to have a great life together. I still look good. Maybe we could do some modeling together. Maybe we could go back to your homeland, like Sepultura, and go to Brazil.
Man, I hope Giselle loves Sepultura.
She probably does.
That'd be awesome
if she did. She probably does. But Tom couldn't do it. The locker room means more. Seeing those guys slinging that pigskin around, it's just... priorities, Tom, priorities. Well, Antonio Brown, he didn't really help this situation by posting a photo of him hugging Giselle after they won the Super Bowl with his quoted on the caption with his classic song title, Put That Ish On.
Oh, my God.
And then the finger emojis because he does that finger dance that everybody's doing. It's toned down. Nobody really does in the NFL. But week one, week two, it was popping.
Oh, my God.
It was popping. So, you know, Antonio Brown, that didn't help. Antonio Brown also assaulted a woman in a pool by showing his Johnson.
Yeah.
You saw that?
Antonio Brown is not exactly the, you know, he's not going to be the guy you go to for that type of behavior. So that's not going to be good. So ultimately, you're telling me that Tom Brady may have chosen Cameron Brate over Giselle. He chose to throw to Gage instead of being with Giselle?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Yeah,
Cole Beasley.
Cole Beasley, right.
Yeah, Cole Beasley.
On a 10-day, if you will. I mean,
priorities, you know? Hey, now he loves his job. What can you say?
Now, if he got full, you know, support from her and the kids and then went to play football and then things broke down, then that's something else. But that's a tough one, man. It's a big-time couple. It's a big-time couple, power couple, lots of money, lots of stuff. They got the kids, seem to have the perfect life. But, you know, this is sort of like this to me, this is like if it's like the Tiger Woods marriage breaking up without that level of controversy, because I don't believe we have that level of controversy here. Do we?
No.
We don't have either one of them involved in anything like that. But it just feels that big to me in sports. You know, that marriage feels like a big deal.
Yeah. Yeah, it was probably pretty awkward when after Thomas said, you know what, I'm retiring. Giselle hears some weird, strange activity going up in the room. She thinks it's another woman, and really it's just Tom watching film.
Oh.
Really, it's just Tom watching film, man.
Why is he screaming 12 personnel? Why did he just do that? That was weird. That was really strange. Yeah, that's rough, man. After all that time, that's how you know you're addicted to football.
Oh, yeah.
All that time, all those rings, all that stuff. And all she wants would be maybe you just hanging out with the family, be a dad, be a husband.
The kids are growing up. The kids are a lot older now. The kids probably are going to start playing football themselves.
Take them to school, go to games.
Yeah.
Be a coach if you want.
Exactly. I see Drew Brees' little badass kids around all the time. Man. All the time. He's in their lives. He was thinking about it too. Drew was thinking about it, and Drew's wife's probably like, look, Drew, I know you only got one, but let's relax now. We got a pretty good life. You did good. A lot of passing yards thrown. You're good. And Drew was like, all right, I'm cool. Tom couldn't do that.
You think Tom Brady is basically the Nick Saban of players where they're not going to be able to stop ever? They're just going right to the bitter end? Because like Peyton Manning has shown us he could stop. He stopped playing. He's doing all this stuff. I actually watched a little Peyton and Eli last night. It was entertaining.
And he's always going to be around the game.
Right, but always going to be around the game, but he's found a way to live around the game. He's not playing anymore.
Right.
He's found his niche, right? Production company, and he and Eli are doing stuff. I don't know if Tom's ever going to be able to do it. I think he and Nick are that guy.
Yeah, he might need a shrink.
Like Nick Saban in interviews has said and continues to talk about his fear of being Bear Bryant. Bear Bryant retires and 2 months later, I think it was. Or somebody joked he wouldn't make it 2 months and he made it 2 or 3 weeks and died.
Oh, that's...
Something like that. It was crazy.
That's dark.
So then... And he'll bring that up to you. Like, Nick, if I brought it up to Saban, it's rude. Saban will tell you that. So it's in his mind. I wonder how Brady thinks of this. Like, is he freaked out about life beyond? Because you would think, how could you draw that up any better?
Well,
that's your wife? Her level of success is so incredible. She's got her own thing going on. She's already been one of the most famous models on earth. It's not like she needs anything more. All she wants to do is hang with you and the kids forever.
Hey, it might be a Nia Long situation in Mayu Doka. She might be the issue.
Oh,
there might
man.
Be some badass kids that they raised together.
I don't know. I don't know, man. That's
crazy. Or Giselle
crazy.
And the nanny.
Though the report is that Tom and Giselle have hired, apparently, divorce lawyers. Can you imagine what these divorce lawyers are about to make? Wow. Because technically, she is still worth more than him, correct? When they break it all down, I think Giselle's worth more.
Yeah, did Tom sign the prenup? you mean?
I don't know. I don't know. I bet that was a hell of a meeting if he did.
Yeah, because it wasn't like she was there in 01, 02. Like, she came in after three rings deep. Like, I think she was in during the Randy Moss era.
I just love the idea that Giselle could be in a room and somebody and her lawyer would say, they would like half. And she's like, whoa, I know the numbers. Hell no, half. I know what the percentages are. Oh, man. Tom and Giselle apparently headed towards divorce. They can save it. Y'all can save it, kids. Just get in a room and talk to each other. Give it a shot. All right, 2 o'clock hour coming up. Texas and OU for the 118th time. Whose game is it going to be? Who's going to put their name on this game forever? Plus, we're trying to help Zay and his wife. They're going to their first ever Texas OU game, and they need your advice. Coming up on The Horn.